بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار.
We find that tonight's topic about أهمية العلم, the importance of the quest or the search of knowledge. And we find that this has always been a shi'ar or a symbol or a sign of Ahlul Sunnah. That Ahlul Sunnah are the people, or Ahlul Hadith, or Ahlul Riwaya, or Ahlul Athar, are people who are always concentrating on searching for knowledge. The quest for knowledge is always there, reading and checking and searching to quench that thirst of knowledge that they have. And we find that they are aiding themselves, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and aiding other people, because we find that the alim is rectifying people in a good manner. Especially in this day and age, we find that many people don't want to listen to the general masses, but they'll take a word or a religious verdict or a fatwa from a person who's well versed in the understanding of al-Islam. And so we find that, especially now, we find that Muslims should be searching for al-Islam, searching for to have knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that the whole essence of Islam begins with the word Iqra. And we find that Iqra is fi'l amr, is a verb in the imperative form, carrying more than just the meaning of proclaim and teach people about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also to read. It's also one of the other meanings of the word Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Read by the name of your Lord who created you, taught you that which you do not know, created you from a clot of blood. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم, taught him that which he did not know. And then we find the ayat, they continue, كلا إن الإنسان لا يطغى أرآه استغنى إن إلى ربك الرجعى أرأيت الذي ينهى عبدا إذا صلى أرأيت إن كان على الهدى أو أمر بالتقوى. Have you not seen him that he becomes arrogant and proud? He becomes boastful amongst people. After knowing nothing, he becomes boastful. أرأيه استغنى, that he thinks he is all in his own. He does not have to answer to anyone. And so we find that this is al-insan. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم, taught man that which he did not know. And that's why we find in the Quran as well, in the 68th surah, Suratul Qalam, Noon wal Qalami wama yasturun. Noon, the harf Noon, and by the pen, by that which it scribes or that which it writes. Once again, showing the emphasis of the seeking of knowledge has been laid down inside the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated the essence of man, that he becomes better than the angels. When the debate took place between when the angels debated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're going to create a nation or a people who are going to cause corruption on the land, who are going to kill people and spill blood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that you know, I know that which you do not know. And then he taught Adam, وَعَلَّمَ الْأَدَمَ أَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam the names of everything. And you read the books of tafsir, the books of tafsir, you find that the ulama, they write that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him the names of plants, of fruits, of soil, of the animals, everything. He was taught the name of everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that why don't you make mention of these things, make mention of these names. But they were not able to do that. La ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. We only have the knowledge which you have given to us. So once again, showing the distinction of mankind, al-insan, been given knowledge, making him above the angels. The angels are limited in their understanding, but the man, al-insan, has been given more perception and understanding than the angels. And that's why we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred a great blessing upon the human being. That out of knowing nothing, he gave mankind so much understanding of this dunya. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. He is the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, took you out of the wombs of your mother. Took you out of the stomach of your mother. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You didn't know anything. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. He gave you the faculty of hearing, of seeing, and perceiving and feeling in your heart for one purpose. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That you may become grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the whole of Al-Islam. أَمَّا أَن تَكُونَ الشَّاكِرِينَ وَأَمَّا أَن تَكُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ. To become those who are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to become ungrateful. So we find that the more the person matures in their life, that's why we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the anbiya, that he gave them hukman wa ilma, he gave them correct judgment and he gave them knowledge. That the more that you travel in this path of knowledge, the more that you come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're able to perceive things. They're both going hand in hand together. That the more you understand the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you're able to judge and make a concise judgment by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that, especially in this day and age, that knowledge has become something very, very important for everybody. Because we find that just like we need to eat, to drink, all these aspects, we need to do these things as part of life. Likewise, we need to seek knowledge. It becomes a fundamental part of our life that we have to seek knowledge in the basic things that we are doing in our life. Likewise, we find the people who've conquered over the Muslim lands, that how are you going to refute them? Or how are you going to turn back towards these people or argue against them? So you need to have al-ilm. You need to have knowledge to refute the attacks that these people place upon al-Islam. And like how we find al-intishar al-madahib al-haddama, any false beliefs, false madhabs, any spread amongst the Muslim ummah, that people believe all types of things, that people believe in philosophy is part of Islam and all other types of attributes that they give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is going to respond to this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to send another book from the heavens. It has to be some people have to stand up and have to defend the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, as-sahwatul islamiyah, that this uprising that you find at the moment, it entails two things. One is the struggle of your life, and the other one is the struggle of your soul or struggle of your mind as well. That both of them go together. That there can be no uprising, any renaissance or anything that can come again without fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having knowledge. To such an extent that some ulama have gone to the opinion from the verse in Surah At-Tawbah towards the end, that knowledge takes precedence even over jihad fi sabilillah. That those people who go out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should come back. That one ta'ifa should remain behind, liyattafaqqahu fi ddeen. That they may learn the sciences. So when they return back, they may teach them the sciences. So in this extent, not everyone should go out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one group should remain behind and learn the sciences of Al-Islam, so when they come back, to warn them and to teach them. So both of these go together. Yani al-jihad, wa-da'wah, and al-ilm together. All this goes together. When you begin to separate this and say that there is only knowledge or there is only jihad, then you know that any of these movements are going on the wrong path. They both have to go in hand together. There has to be some people defending the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the sword, and some people have to defend it by the pen or by the words that they speak to tell people what is right and what is wrong. And likewise, we find as many people of principles, they write, يعني ما لا يتم الواجب إلا به فهو واجب. For example, what this means is that to pray is wajib, and to offer the prayer you need to have ablution. So ablution becomes wajib, it becomes an obligation. And likewise, you need to fast, you need to perform hajj, you need to do umrah, you need that key tool, you need knowledge. So knowledge becomes farb, it becomes wajib. You have to seek knowledge. It's not a concept that, or maybe I don't need it, but for the mundane things that we all do, how to pray, how to fast, etc., marital life, etc., it all becomes wajib upon you. If you're involved in a business transaction, it becomes wajib upon you to search the rules and regulations. What does Islam say? How to conduct a good transaction? And we find that the reason why this Muslim ummah has become so weak in its comprehension of al-ilm, one is ghiyab ta'thir al-masajid, the absence of the role of the masjid. The masjid no longer plays that fundamental role of teaching people their deen. Many of the masajid that we find, not just in this country, in the Muslim countries, that after Salat al-Isha, then the masjid is closed. That is it. That is the end of the day. But the masjid is the first house of teaching people the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find qillatul ulama al-amilin, that we find very few ulama who carry out good actions or who, you know, practice what they preach. Very few ulama. You find masses of ulama. If you look at Al-Azhar al-Sharif, this institute in Cairo, grand institute, even respected by the non-Muslims, but what do they produce? Very few ulama who practice what they preach. And their fatawa are clearly in front of us about the hijab, about al-riba, all of these things. That which is clearly haram, that even a child in the street knows that this is something haram. Yet these people will come and twist it to aid the government, to aid the people, and to aid the kuffar, and say this is something, yani, bid-durura. Out of necessity, we've allowed this action to be done. Likewise, we find su khutut at-ta'lim, that the way that we study things is very bad. If you look at most of the Muslim countries, their structure on teaching people, on educating people, is something that's written in the 18th centuries. Even the Islamic institutes, that many of their books talk about philosophy in the beginning of the 18th century, and they expect you to memorize these books of mantiq. That when you leave the institute, you should have memorized this book and memorized the explanation of it as well. And what does this benefit you? You go out in the real world, and how many people do you meet who debate with you on a philosophical level or upon logic? Hardly anybody. But they are told to memorize these text after text and just memorize them for the sake of gaining this qualification. Likewise, you find da'ful himam wal aza'im, a weakness within ourselves. That's why you find many scholars have written current day books about ulul himma, a strong desire, a strong aspiration to gain what you want to gain. Look at some of these kuffar, some of these disbelievers. They'll go through all extents to gain what they want to gain. They have to sacrifice everything, they will go to it. And you find the Muslim ummah is forever has this weakness within themselves that they never ever gain what they really want to gain. Likewise, we find infitah ad-dunya, the opening of this dunya. That we find many people that the dunya has just taken them over. That is the only interest that they are worried about, not to seek al-ilm or to seek knowledge. And we find that whoever goes running to the dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place poverty in between his forehead. And whoever any al-ilm or seeks to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the dunya will chase him. The dunya will chase that individual rather than the person chasing the dunya. Likewise, we find kathratu wasail at-tarfi wal-lahu, wasting time. In many of our affairs that we see, that the Muslims are forever wasting their time in play and amusement and things that don't benefit them in any way. It doesn't benefit them at all. If you're ignorant of it, it's not going to harm you. And if you have knowledge of it, it's not going to benefit you. Names of certain teams, certain activities, certain sports. And if you are ignorant, it is not going to harm you. And if you have knowledge of it, it's not going to benefit you, as many of the ulama write about such things. And likewise, we find at-tukhassasat al-juz'iyyah, that many scholars today are only specialized in certain things. So if you go to him, he'll only know about usul al-fiqh, or about tafsir, or about aqidah. No one will be a sheikh in the meaning of he'll understand all of the sciences. Everything has become split up now. That even the universities tell you to only specialize in one thing. They specialize in nahu, in grammar, and that's it. Don't specialize in anything else. So what does this create? People who are separate people, just specializing in one topic. So when they return back to their people, they cannot really benefit anyone. An alim is one who has covered many of the subjects and has a good comprehension of al-Islam. And likewise, we find, this is something which has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something which has been decreed, as we find in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Anasin radiyallahu an qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna min ashratis sa'a, that verily from the signs of the last day, and yurfa' al-ilm, that knowledge will be lifted. وَيُثْبَتَ الْجَحَلُ وَيُشْرَبَ الْخَمْرُ وَيَظْهَرَ الزِّنَا, that people will begin to drink intoxications, zina will become apparent, widespread, and we find that jahl, ignorance, will be established. And then the ulama have mentioned, or another hadith mentions, أَنْ يُرْفَعَ الْعِلْمُ, what does it mean that knowledge will be lifted? And knowledge will be lifted by the death of the ulama. The ulama will be lifted, and other people will come, and they will give religious verdicts, فَأَفْتَوْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمُ فَدَلُّوا وَعَدَلُّوا, then they will be misguided and they will misguide other people. This will happen, that the true ulama will be lifted, and these false ulama will come, ulama al-su, evil ulama, or ulama al-dawla. If you read some of the books, they call them scholars of the government. This is what it really means, scholars of the government, who give fatwa not just to aid the government but change the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the people who are misguided, and they will guide other people as well. And we find that this knowledge, which has been continuously mentioned inside the Quran, is the knowledge of al-Islam. Because many people, they like to say that when the word ilm is mentioned, it means any science, it means any knowledge, whether it could be the dunya, could be about agriculture, could be about science, anything. This is something beneficial. This is what it refers to. This is incorrect. The real knowledge which benefits, or the real knowledge which, when ilm is mentioned inside the Quran and the Sunnah, is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the scholars. You can't study engineering and aeronautics and this will make you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and His attributes, which will bring you closer to Him. So this is the knowledge that we find that's been laid down inside the Quran. And likewise, we find the preference of those people who know and those people who don't know. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Say, are those people equal, those who know and those who do not know? إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And all those men of understanding comprehend this or take a reminder from this. And أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, any lub is the intellect, is the mind, the ability to understand something and to comprehend something. So here we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying clearly, those people who know and those people who don't know are not the same in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another place in the Quran we find, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise certain people amongst you in ranks. Certain believers, He'll raise them in ranks. And those people who've been given knowledge, those are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise up in rank. So this shows the distinction of the person who is in searching for knowledge or coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those people who are not. And we find that as for those people who feel that the dunya is something, a good form of knowledge, this is fardul kifaya. This is only that a small group of people have to go and seek this knowledge to benefit the society, whether it be affairs of agriculture and other such knowledge, benefits society in general. Then a certain group of people have to go and search this knowledge. This is not the knowledge which is fardul ain. This is not the knowledge which is an obligation upon an individual to do. If somebody amongst you in this room goes and does that knowledge, then that comes back and benefits us, that is enough. But it's a knowledge that we all need to go and do. And that is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that even some of the ulama, they write that even the people who do these mundane affairs, even the farmer, a mu'min farmer, is his link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close. Because he sees the seed growing out of the ground. So he sees the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that increases his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet we find that so many times we could be comprehending so many things, reading so many things, but yet we don't gain that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this farmer, this mundane affair of just planting a seed in the ground, that when he sees it growing, he reflects upon the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we find in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Once again, in the alternation of the night and the day, and the creation of the heavens and the earth, is a sign once again for people, أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, men of understanding. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Who see this creation, all of this, and they say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've not created this in vain. None of this has been created in vain. سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Glorified are you, save us from the punishment of the fire. Those people are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting down and lying down. This is like even mundane person would reflect on some of these signs and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we find that many of the ulama, as Imam Bukhari in his collection of Sahih, he mentions that al-ilm qabla al-qawl wal-amal, to have knowledge before you carry out any actions. Any action that you carry out, you need to have knowledge of that. And that is exactly what the Quran says as well. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Have knowledge that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not a deen, a religion or a way of life that you just take anything upon its acceptance. It is about affirmation. فَعْلَمْ, have knowledge, have certainty that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we find that the first knowledge that the mu'min needs to strive for is the knowledge of Tawheed. Is to seek the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek the ways to get closer to Him, what worship you need to do. Read about the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation, the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we find that when the word comes of comprehension once again of ilm, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show goodness to, He gives him the understanding of the deen. Gives him the understanding of the deen. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing goodness to an individual, that they are able to comprehend the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that in the general sense, we find words in such a hadith, for example, talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim, ma rawahu ibn Majah. That to search for knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim. As for some people who say, wa muslima, and upon every female, Muslim woman as well, then this is an incorrect addition. Because in the Arabic language, when you say Muslim, it means both male and female. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, or you who believe, means both male and female, the gender. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be specific, then He will talk about the females, وَالْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ, the believing men and the believing women. وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ, the fasting men and the fasting women. To be specific in referring to the male gender and the female gender. As for the hadith that many people, they quote, أُطْلُبُ الْعِلْمَ وَلَوْ بِالسِّينَ, and you seek knowledge even you have to go to China. This is a fabrication. This hadith is a fabrication. Maybe to some extent that the meaning could be true, to go out and seek knowledge wherever you have to travel. And that's why some words have been mentioned about Imam Shafi'i, that go out, out in the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there are five benefits in going out in the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is the seeking or the quest of knowledge. So all of these, likewise the hadith that some people like to mention, I'm the city of knowledge and Ali is its gate. This is also a fabricated hadith as well. I am the house of wisdom and Ali is its door. This is also a fabrication as well. So a person should have knowledge of this, because many people like to quote this, and it's common on their tongues, that seek knowledge even you have to go to China. And this is a fabrication, it's not a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can just say it's a wise statement to make this statement, not to attribute it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find that in one hadith, marwahu Imam Bukhari, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example of a person who comprehends knowledge. He gave the example of two types of soil. One which is a fertile soil, which absorbs the water. And this, and another type of soil which is barren. Nothing grows on this land. The first type of soil which is fertile is the one that comprehends the knowledge and benefits other people as well. That's the type of knowledge that a Muslim should try to aspire to gain in their life. And the second type of knowledge is the barren land, that it benefits no one. Does not care about the knowledge and just leaves it at that state, not benefiting anyone. And many times we find the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ, the best amongst you is he who learns the Qur'an and teaches it. So here we find that ilm is referring back to the Qur'an, referring to something to do with Islam. Best amongst you is he who learns the Qur'an and teaches it to other people. And that's why we find that in this search for knowledge as well, that the person is always questioning themselves, that their niyyah, their intention is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like every other action that we do in our life. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, they've been ordered to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all sincerity. أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the sincere deen. So likewise in knowledge, in the quest of knowledge, it is forever seeking to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise we find the famous hadith of Umar radiyallahu an, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that verily actions will be judged by their intentions. And many of the ulama, they place this hadith in every single work that they wrote. If you pick up many of the classical books, the first hadith they'll write is this hadith, to make sure that they're purifying their intention, that all of my actions are only sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how we find in the hadith in Ma Rawahu Imam Muslim, that it will be said to the person who is a qari, the person who is a scholar, it will be said to him that you've been given this understanding and you read the Qur'an. And he will say on the day of judgment, I've done this, you need to read the Qur'an and to aid the people, etc. And it will be said to him, kathabt, you have lied. You've done it so people will say that you are qari, you are a sheikh, you are an alim. And that was said about you. You were seeking reward from the people. And then he would be placed on his face and dragged on his face and thrown into the hellfire. And this is one of the most noble people in this dunya, and should be the most noble in the hereafter as well. But because the intention was not correct, then this person will be dragged on his face and thrown into the hellfire. And we seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from such an evil end. And that's why we find, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ مِمَّا يُبْتَغَى بِهِ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ عز وجل سبحانه وتعالى لا يتعلمه إلا ليصيب به عرضا من الدنيا لم يجد عرف الجنة يوم القيامة. Whoever seeks knowledge just for the sake, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeks it for not that intention, then a person will not even smell the fragrance of paradise on the day of judgment. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do to that individual. Likewise, من تعلم العلم ليباهي به العلماء أو ليماري به السفهاء أو ليصرف به وجوه الناس إليه فالنار النار. And this has become common in our society. People learn knowledge to argue, to compete with the ulama, to compete with the scholars, or to attract the attention of the ignorant people, or to look down at them. فالنار النار. For this person is only the fire. The person needs to be very, very careful in their seeking, in the quest of knowledge. That many times we find that people are forever saying things about the ulama, saying evil things about them, saying bad things about them, debating on the religious verdicts that some of them have made, and thinking that they are mistaken and they have gone totally in towards kufr, towards disbelief, and how can they make such a great mistake? And we know the insan is being made in a state of continuously making mistakes. Any alim can make a mistake and give a wrong verdict, but our respect for the alim is always there, for any scholar who is always working with the Quran and the Sunnah, respect should be given to them irrespective of who they are. But if their statements go against the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, then they are to be rejected then. And that's why we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned inside the Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He's the one who's created death and life, that he may test you which of you is best indeed. Which of you is best indeed. That if you do anything, that you try your best to do that action. It's not about how much you do. It's to the best of your ability that you try to do that action to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find a discussion about, you know, not getting involved in bid'ah and innovation. Because we find that many people in studying of Islam get involved in innovations as well. Because you find that some people, they like to read Islam to justify their beliefs. And this is incorrect. You should never read Islam to justify what you believe in. If it's against you, if it's for you, you should try to accept it in your life. Never try to re-codify Islam to make it fit into your own understanding or into your own space and your own vacuum, and this is what Islam means or this is what it states. It is forever trying to find the correct meaning of what does Islam state about a certain principle or an issue. And then we find, yani after this, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised any those people who are seeking knowledge. That he himself in Surah Ali Imran has mentioned, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself testifies that none has the right to be worshipped Allah except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْمَلَائِكَ and the angels, وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ and the men of knowledge. This is the rank that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the alim, to the scholar who knows about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what the sharia means to a certain degree, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with the understanding to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we find in a hadith ma rawahu Imam Ahmad Abu Dawud Ibn Majah, that whoever trends a path seeking knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will direct him to a path from the paths of paradise, and the angels will accord welcome to the seekers of knowledge and all that is found in the heavens and the earth until yani al-hitan or al-hut, or the fish in the depth of the water, seeks forgiveness for the scholar. And the superiority of the scholar over the worshipper is like that of the full moon at night over the rest of the stars. And likewise, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets, who don't leave behind dinar wala dirham. They only leave behind al-ilm. فَمَنْ أَخَذَ بِهِ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِعٍ. And whoever takes from that knowledge has taken from the mass fortune. That's the only thing that the anbiya left behind, is knowledge. They didn't leave behind dinar wala dirham, no gold or silver coins. That's the only thing they left behind is knowledge. So that's why al-ulama warathatul anbiya. They are the ones that have inherited from the prophets, salawatu wasalamu alayhim. And that's why we find that ad-dunya mal'una, that the whole of this dunya is cursed. Mal'unun ma fiha illa dhikrallahi wa ma wala wa 'aliman aw muta'alliman. All of this dunya is cursed, and whatever this dunya contains, except for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is linked to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa aliman aw muta'alliman, or a scholar or one who's trying to learn. Apart from that, everyone in this dunya is cursed. There's no value to anyone except for the person who's trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, in another hadith we find, fadlul alim ala al-abid ka fadli ala adnakum, that the example of the scholar above the worshipper is like the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the best of the companions. That is a big distance between the companions and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, you find the example of a scholar over a normal common person, that is the difference. Just like the previous hadith as well, is like the moon over the rest of the stars. Likewise, you find, man kharaja fi talabil ilm fa huwa fi sabilillah hatta yarji', whoever goes out seeking knowledge, then he is fi sabilillah, he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he returns. And so we find that all of this is encouragement for the mu'min, to the believer, to seek any deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find some of the fruits of the knowledge, of seeking knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with. The first fruit that we find is a person begins to carry out yani actions. That now you are able to carry out actions to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. I say, this is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I call upon it upon basira, And many of the ulama write basira, and he is insight, understanding, and ilm, and knowledge. So you cannot even give da'wah until you don't have a clear understanding of what is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here once again we find the importance of al-ilm. And then we find any of the actions, which makes us different from al-dalin, makes us different from the people who are misguided, in al-nasara and al-maghdubi alayhim, and those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with. Because al-yahud lam ya'malu bi'ilmihim. Because the Jews never carried out the actions with the knowledge that they had. They had the knowledge. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know him like they know their own children. But yet they stayed away from the religion or the final or the complete religion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as for al-Nasara, then they are juhal. They are ignorant people. Even to this day, something is halal, then tomorrow it becomes haram. And this ummah is in the middle. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. That we made you the middle and the just nation. We are not to the extreme of the Yahud, who have knowledge and don't carry out any actions. And we are not ignorant as well, like the Christians who just believe in anything and do whatever they want to do. And we find that the Quran or Islam is very explicit in not carrying out actions with the knowledge that you have gained. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا بِئْسَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. The example of a people who gain knowledge is like a donkey carrying books on its back. That's all it is. This example of Ahlul Kitab. And as we find many of the Muslims as well, the knowledge just becomes mere quotations, classifications, and collections. That's all that knowledge becomes in front of masses, many of us. That's all it becomes. To quote in what century, in what day, what time, what hadith. As for its implementation, then it's very, very minimal. And this is an example of such people. Just carrying books on their back like a donkey. The donkey can carry much weight. That's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. But it doesn't seem to comprehend or understand anything. And that's why we find غير المقدوب عليهم ولا الضالين. If you read the tafsir of this, likewise you find لم يعملوا بعلمهم الذين يعملون على الجهل والضلال. Talking about the Jews and the Christians. Likewise you find another verse inside Surah Al-Baqarah. أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون. Do you order mankind with piety and goodness and righteousness, and you don't do it yourself? وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون. And you are the ones that are reciting the book. Do you not comprehend and understand this? Don't you have an intellect to understand this? What good is there in telling other people to go and do something good, or encourage them to do something good, and you don't even do it in your own life? This is something evil. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Oh, you believe, why do you say that which you do not do yourself? It is something grave, something high, something in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are saying something that which you do not do yourself. So first you should always reflect upon these ayat inside the Quran. And likewise we find كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَتَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. This is a blessed book that we have sent down upon you. And Hassan said تَدَبُّر آيَاتِهِ, that to reflect upon the ayat, one meaning is اتِّبَاء بِعَمَلِهِ, is to follow it with actions. This is one meaning of تَدَبُّر الْآيَاتِ, not just to reflect over the ayat. Some people, you find that the Sufi mystics are just keep on reflecting over the verses in the Quran. But it's much more than that. After reflection should come what? Action of the verses of the Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. Likewise we find in the hadith ما رواه من ترمذي لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع عن أمره فيما أفنى حتى وعن علمه ماذا عمل فيه. That the foot of son of Adam will not move until he's asked about four things. And one of those things is وعن علمه ماذا عمل فيه, about his knowledge and what did he do with the knowledge that he acquired. Likewise we find يؤتى برجل يوم القيامة فيلقى في النار. It will come on the day of judgment, a man will come on the day of judgment and be thrown into the fire. And he will find فَتَنْدَلِقَ أَقْتَابُهُ, and his intestines will be coming out, hanging out from his body. فَيُقَالَ أَلَيْسَ كُنْتَ تَعْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Are you not the one who used to order the good and forbid the evil? قَالَ كُنْتُ أَمُرُكُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَا أَفْعَلُهُ وَأَنْهَاكُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَآتِيهُ. I used to order you the good and not do it myself. I should tell you to stay away from haram, I should do it myself. What an evil end of such a person in this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Even though all of us have levels of hypocrisy to some degree, but protect us from this type of hypocrisy, that on the day of judgment a person is exposed, that intestines are thrown out, and then it will be said that, are you not so and so who used to order the people to do good and did not do it yourself? Likewise, some of the Salaf, the scholars, they wrote, قال الفضيل بن عياد لا يزال العالم جاهلا بما علم حتى يعمل به فإذا عمل به فكان علما. A scholar is forever ignorant of everything that he's learned. The only time that you're allowed to be called a scholar حتى عمل بما علم. That the person carries out the action of that which he has learned. That is the only time you're an alim. Apart from that, you are still forever ignorant. So the masses of these people who claim to be scholars of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sunnah, they are forever ignorant until they do not practice what the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to do in their life. And likewise, we find the person becomes warathatul anbiya. The person becomes an inheritor of the prophets. And likewise, we find that the person becomes khayrun nasi ala wajhi al-ard wa lahum al-izza fi dunya wal akhirah. That these people become the best of people on this dunya and in the hereafter. They become the most respected of people in this dunya and in the hereafter as well, those people who attain this knowledge. And likewise, you find it develops at-taqwa. Develops you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. Those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who have ilm. And likewise, many of the scholars, they wrote, innama al-ilm khashya. That knowledge is fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is all, this is the fruits of knowledge. That's why when a person, Imam Ahmad, was sitting there and they mentioned about an individual, and they said he doesn't understand much usul al-fiqh. He doesn't understand many of these principles. And Imam Ahmad, rahmatullahi, rebuked him and said he is seeing the fruits of knowledge. He has got the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this criteria to judge people upon how much do they comprehend. As long as you just understand the amount that you have learned, you implement that in your life, then you are classified as being an alim. You implement that to the best of your ability. It's not necessarily amount, the massive amounts that you learn. Imam Ahmad praised this man, that he's already seeing the fruits of knowledge, because he has got khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what ilm should bring in an individual. Likewise, we find ya'rif qadrahu, that the individual knows his limitations, knows his limits. That's why you find wattaqullah wa yu'allimukumullah. Fear Allah and Allah will teach you. This is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses upon people. You learn to fear him through the knowledge that you gain, and he will increase you in understanding. Likewise, you find even the Prophet Muhammad has been given the most understanding in this dunya, being given jawami' al-kalim, concise words, being made one who is tibyan li kulli shay, one who is explaining everything which is inside the Quran by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he pray? وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase me in knowledge. This is the Prophet Muhammad was making this dua, increase me in knowledge. Likewise, we find نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. We raise in ranks whomever we want. And above every knowledgeable person, there is Alim. There is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-knowing. This is what happens to the people who are on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking knowledge. That they know at the end that they are nothing. Like as you read the story of Musa and Khidr, that you find that when the bird takes that drop of water from the ocean, and Khidr says that my knowledge, all the knowledge that I own, and knowledge that you own, and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that this dip, this small water that's been taken in the beak of the bird, and the ocean is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the amount of knowledge that we have gained. And Musa alayhi salam was the most knowledgeable of the Anbiya at that time, that was present that stage upon the dunya. And likewise Khidr as well was the most knowledgeable, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given him the knowledge. And both of them together, yet they weighed nothing than just a small speck or drop of water taken in the beak of a bird, of this small animal. And likewise you find ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Knowledge is only the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives to whoever he wants. It is not about controlling people or taking people this way and that way. And that's why even before this lecture, listen to the works of Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi. And when you see these people and you see that the way that they behave and the words that they use, you have to understand and respect that these people were ulama. Respect of what people say about such people, rahmatullahi alayhi. That he himself is saying that the person should be pleased, that the best thing that any sheikh can have is good students. Students who question him. Because out of questioning the teacher, there's many fawaid, there's many benefits. One, you begin to revise the knowledge that you've learned. You teach the knowledge that you've learned. And you go and search for other things which the students are asking you. As for this day and age that we find, that the culture that we find is you're only sabi, you're only a young person, you don't understand. These are the words that Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi, he used himself on this tape. He said that this is unacceptable. This is not really a scholar. If he's questioned by his students, and they're encouraging him to go and search more, and understand more, and comprehend more, maybe something may have slipped his mind, and someone reminds him of a hadith. So this is something good. This is the way the alim is, because all of us are insan. All of us forget things, and should be reminded by others. And likewise we find, كُلُّ مَا زِدْتُ عِلْمًا زِدْتُ جَحْلًا. The more I increase in knowledge, I increase in my own ignorance. That is what knowledge should do to an individual. Every time you reflect, you think that subhanAllah, I don't really know anything. I don't understand anything. And yet we claim to be understanding so much of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, if man arafa nafsahu, arafa rabbahu. Some people say this is a hadith, but this is mawdu. Yeah, no, there's no essence to this, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. But we find that the statement is true. Whoever knows himself, knows his Lord. Meaning that you know that you are weak, you are nothing. And you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim. He's the one who has all knowledge. And then we find, and finally, al-ajr mustamir. Forever reward will be given to you. That this is sadaqah jariyah. A sadaqah which will carry on for a person. That you leave some knowledge behind that people benefit from. Whether it be writings, whether it be lectures, whether it be anything, a form of knowledge which will benefit the people after you die. This is one thing that will benefit you forever in your life. So we find that in conclusion, that all of us need to return back to seek knowledge of aqidah, knowledge of belief, knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Irrespective of what anybody says, that it's not important, tawheed is not important. This is the beginning. If you understand that the purpose of tawheed is to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will benefit you a lot in your life. That every time you're about to indulge in something haram, that you will always think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sami'un basir. He is watching you and hearing you. And when you reflect that He knows everything, and He can see you at all stages, He knows khainatul a'yun wama tukhfi sudur. He knows what the high eyes are trying to conceal and what the heart is trying to conceal. He knows all of that. Then of course tawheed will benefit you in your life wherever you are. It is forever with you inside your heart. And that is the real understanding of tawheed and aqeedah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, basic fiqh, the way that we pray, what breaks our prayer, what breaks our wudu, how do we perform ghusl, how do we perform wudu, all of these mundane affairs, how do we wash a dead body? If one of the brothers amongst us is to die, may Allah forbid, or is something destined for all of us, how would we wash this individual? How do we perform the salatul janazah? How do we do all these things? And yet we find in this zeal for Islamic knowledge that many of us are left in a state of hayran, not knowing what to do, looking at one another, what should we do? And after so many years of seeking knowledge, what have we created? Have we created people who are ulama? Have we created people who are imma? And these people are forever creating their people. Whether they're ignorant or whether they're misguided is a different point or different argument. But they have created their society, created their people. That person can stand and lead people in prayer. People can stand up and tell them how to perform Jummah al-Khutbah, how to perform the Eid prayer, how to do this, how to do that. And yet we are forever still in even basics, we fail to comprehend them and understand them. And so we should go back and try our best, all of us, including myself, to understand any basic worship and concept, how to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to offer our prayers, how to fast, how to give charity. And these are the affairs that will benefit us now. Rather, many times that the debates that we get ourselves involved into, which will not benefit us. These are the things that will benefit you right now, all of us, how to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we find the second nasiha is Al-Qur'an, is to concentrate on the Qur'an. Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayk, is an evidence for you or against you. And at the moment, including myself, the Qur'an is an evidence against us. It is not a hujjah lana. It is not an evidence for us. So we have to go back to the essence of reading the Qur'an, studying the Qur'an, memorizing the Qur'an, and obviously implementing the Qur'an to the best of our ability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these words in our mizan of hasanat, the day that we meet Him, illa man atallaha biqalbin salim, except for whoever meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart. And make all of those who are listening to these words to try their best to implement these words to the best of their ability. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ وَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. Those people who hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and implement it to the best of their ability. Anything khair or good I've said is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything wrong or incorrect is from my own self and from shaitan. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ. نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ. نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.